Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Bill Owens, this is what we call the lightning round. We've been talking to you for the last couple of days. Now I want to talk to you about a whole bunch of stuff, each of which could take a long time, but I want it to be a short time, and I thank you for playing along with me. Okay, the immigration debate.
It is, I think, stalled in large measure. I think the irrational focus on the southern border is problematic to me from a number of perspectives. Number one, it prohibits us from moving forward. Number two, it takes away from the northern border and our two seacoasts, all of which greatly contribute to our economy. But my basic concern and my fundamental underlying issue is making sure we get farm labor available and legal in the United States. It is essential to our keeping the food supply controlled in the United States.
So let me see if I just get that straight real quickly, and that is that because there are so many people who are, I don't want to use the word paranoid, but concerned about the southern border, and you may think that's a little irrational, they have forgotten about how important the northern border, the sea-bound states, are in terms of encouraging trade, and that might redound to less trade?
Yes, I agree.
Okay. Let's go to tax reform. Everybody keeps hearing years and years and years, we've got to make the tax code simpler and we've got to make it fairer, so that everybody gets a break and that some major corporation, for example, pays no taxes at all. That's got to stop. Is there any hope among both Republicans and Democrats that we can do this?
Well, there was a lot of chatter this fall that really has turned to not much action. I think that we'll see some action early in 2014. Whether or not in an election year you can move tax reform forward seems unlikely to me. I certainly support a simpler tax code, one that's fairer, but it also has to be realistically one that increases revenue. This is an area that virtually every economist agrees on. Simpson Bowles agrees on it. This is not a radical left view of the world. This is a pragmatist view of the world.
So it's just a question of whether or not there's a political will to do it, and people want it done, and if people want it done. So what do you think?
Well, I think that there's a lot of chatter about, I want to get this done. However, it's not atypical for someone to come into my office and say, I want tax rates lower, but don't take away my deductions. And so, I think that that's what all members of Congress hear. And clearly that's very problematic because you cannot have both.
We are trying to achieve energy efficiency in this country. You know, a lot of people are using natural gas now. A lot of people are, we're hearing, except for the not in my backyard, is the idea that we should be harnessing wind power more, water power now. Are we getting anywhere?
Well, the reality is that we are rapidly moving to energy self-sufficiency. We have a glut of oil in the Gulf Coast, meaning oil that's coming into the refineries there. We've seen gasoline prices declining. We haven't seen as much decline in home heating oil prices at this point as we certainly like to see. But we are becoming rapidly self-sufficient. So the argument that there has been restraint put on, if you will, fossil fuel exploration is really, in my mind, a complete fallacy. At the same time, I think we need to continue to work on renewable energy, whether that's wind power, and we have two very large wind farms in my district that are functioning very well and are accepted by their communities.
Interesting. No resistance?
I wouldn't say no resistance, but not over the top, and they are located in areas that are primarily rural and farming, so they benefit the local farmer, and they benefit the grid system by producing renewable energy.
You said something that was just fascinating to me, and I hadn't thought about it. The prices of automobile fuel have gone down, but not home heating oil. Well, don't the refineries make both, and what's the excuse for that?
I I don't know the answer to that, Alan, and I've asked the question a few times of people who I think should know, and in fact, I haven't gotten very satisfactory responses, but it's something that I'm observing, and I'm hoping your listeners will observe, and, you know, communicate that to myself, to Paul Tonko, to Chris Gibson, whoever their member of Congress might be, because I think that it's an important arena, you know, as we develop this glut of oil and an increasing supply of natural gas, we need to make sure that the American economy benefits from that, not just the energy companies. And that's a big distinction. I think that that's one of the policy areas we need to focus on. I certainly want the energy companies to be profitable. But my first concern is that my constituents have lower cost both for gasoline, home heating oil, but also for power to operate their businesses. So that's a very interesting issue we're going to have to work our way through, because we're now going to have a different set of circumstances if we have a glut of energy than we had before, because there will be pressure then to export it. And what we want to make sure is we're balancing those needs.
You, as a Democratic congressman in a very competitive district, I have a question, and that is the Affordable Care Act, otherwise known as Obamacare. In the beginning, there was a sense that the Democratic Congress people were in a bad spot here because of the rollout being so poor. We've talked about it in the past. But it does appear that it's getting better now, and I'm wondering whether or not you're sensing it from your constituents.
Well, that's a really interesting question, because we were not hearing as much about the health care bill as we would have anticipated. We did a number of town halls, telephone town halls, and in-person town halls during that period, and there was not a tremendous amount of angst and anger. And I think part of that is, in New York, clearly people were going to the New York website, not to the national website. And that was working very well, because I think Governor Cuomo did a great job with that. And the people in the health department and the insurance department did a great job with being prepared and professionally managing it. So I think from that perspective, we're seeing a slightly different level of a slightly different reaction than you may have gotten if you were in a state that did not have as successful a program.
So you didn't have people running up to your constituents and saying, I hate Obamacare.
Oh, sure I did.
Yes.
Oh, absolutely. I had people making those statements, but not as many as I would have expected is maybe the way I should have said it. And the other factor, which I find kind of amusing, is I had people come in and say to me, my insurance was canceled. I went on the New York website. I got a cheaper and better policy, but I'm still angry.
Interesting. You can't have it both ways.
I don't think so.
Tell me about the skills gap. I got a couple of seconds here. I want to talk about it. I know you're concerned about the so-called skills gap. What is it, and what are we going to do about it?
Well, we have a situation where we have lots of unfilled jobs. Some of them are unfortunately lower paying, but we have a middle group of jobs, manufacturing jobs and other skilled jobs, that are unfilled because we don't have the people with the right training. And some of that's historical, in that we sort of walked away from the shop programs and apprenticeship programs that we had in the 50s and 60s and early 70s, and we moved to, I think, pushing everyone to college. I think that we need to get back to explaining to high school students that there are career paths that can be very successful and very rewarding, not just financially, but also from a personal perspective, that they can follow. And that is a direction we need to go as a society. And we are looking to assist any of the schools or other groups in our communities that are moving in that direction. One of the reasons we talk about it all the time is because we want to encourage people to find creative ways to fill those skills gaps in their communities.
I certainly agree with you. Congressman Bill Owens, we thank you so much for doing this. It's always great to get the word directly, instead of people writing about what you said, to hear what you actually said. I appreciate it very much.
Thanks, Alan.